In our culture, we are led to believe that beauty can be worked for. If we just put in enough effort, do the right routines, grab the right products, even if we started off looking like a complete mess, culture says, hey, don't worry, we can change that. Here, do all this, these 21 things daily, and we can improve our looks. We can finally become that girl who always looks beautiful and perfect. Perhaps we already know that this is an illusion, that it's all just marketing. Yet, how many of us, when we open Instagram and see your favorite influencer posting about that next potential Christmas gift, still wonder? Maybe this $500 facial device will actually make my pimples disappear and give me smoother skin. I mean, look at her. And look at all these other women. It totally worked for them. Maybe it'll work for me too. I know this has definitely happened for me. The temptation to become that girl is dangerous because not only does it confirm that beauty can be worked for, it turns beauty into a never-ending job. Let's be honest, some of us are exhausted from trying to keep up, but we just seem to be trapped in this pit. We wake up in the morning, we look at ourselves in the mirror, and we can't help but to see all these flaws. Ugh, look at these eye bags. Look at these gray hairs. New pimples? I have to do something about this. And so we go on with our 10-step skincare routine, day after day after day. And maybe one day, we are too overwhelmed, and we decide to take a break. But soon after, we fall into it again. Because every time, a voice just seemed to buzz in our ear. Hey, you're not like that girl. You're not beautiful enough. Do something about it. Becoming that girl is exhausting, and we know it. But we chase after this anyways, because we want to be seen and we want to be beautiful. So if this is what it takes, then so be it. I'll keep working for it. Maybe some of us aren't as optimistic. Look, I want to be beautiful too. I want to feel chosen and loved, but you don't understand. I've tried time and time again, but it didn't work. You know, one time, I went to the gym every single day, and I tried the avocado toast thing for 2 weeks. Sure, I lost a few pounds, and yes, I found my abs again. But life got busy, and I got lazy, and I started binge eating again. Now, I'm even 5 pounds heavier. Another time, I met this guy at school, and I really wanted to get his attention. I tried waking up early to exercise and to read, just so I could be the best version of myself. I even switched out my wardrobe so I can look the best around him. But the other day, he told me he wanted to get to know my friend better. Maybe these aren't your exact stories, but we've probably all felt the disappointment, the defeat, and the hopelessness before. Once? Twice? 3 times? Eventually, we become numb. And soon, we convince ourselves, fine, I'm not her. And you know what? I never will be. so we give up altogether. Not because we don't want to improve, but because we feel like we'll never achieve. I'm always on the losing end. Why should I try? Whether you feel like the overachiever or the discouraged, they're actually both trapped in the same lie. The lie that tells us how we look determines our value and our worth. That if we're not beautiful enough, we won't be enough. We won't be loved. We won't be chosen. The lie that keeps us chasing after new routines, new products, new beauty standards, and the lie that keeps us trapped in the feelings of defeat, disappointment, and hopelessness. As we begin our message today, let's first remind us of the truth that Pastor Carson shared from week one. And that truth is, we don't have to become that girl because we already are. We already are loved and chosen by God. We already are valued. We already are blameless, flawless, and without blemish in Christ. We don't have to keep trying to look physically attractive out of the need for others to love us and to recognize us. We can live fully in and from this truth. That is the good news. So if it's true that we're already that girl, what does it mean to be beautiful? Does it mean that we can just keep trying? I mean, we're already there, right? What does the Bible tell us about true beauty? First, the Bible tells us that we are fundamentally beautiful, inside and out, because we are created in the image of God. Genesis 1, verse 26 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the livestock, and all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth.'" Verse 27, "And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." Humans, both male and female, are created with intention and value after God's image and his likeness. For what, you may ask? Well, we're made to represent him, his rule, and his character on earth. Have you ever created anything to represent yourself? Maybe with Lego or pottery, or maybe with Play-Doh when you were younger? How many of you would deliberately create something ugly to represent yourself? I'm guessing most of us would say no. These verses affirm that because we're made after the image of God, we don't need to chase after cultural beauty standards. We're inherently beautiful. But maybe now you're wondering, well, what is this image supposed to look like? The Bible doesn't tell us systematically, as in it doesn't say the image is A, B, C, but it doesn't mean we don't know, because God came to the world and showed us through Jesus. John 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was nothing made that was made." The Word is Jesus. He was with God since the beginning of existence. He is God, and all things were made through him. Later, John says in verse 10 and 14, he, Jesus, was in the world, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. These verses tell us an important note, that Jesus is the incarnation. He, who is God, came to the world as human, as flesh, in all its fullness, the characteristics, the weakness, everything. So the next question we might ask ourselves is, well, why? Why did Jesus come to the world? Verse 18 says, no one has ever seen God. God, the only Son, who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. The Greek word in the Bible for made him known means to reveal and to explain. And so no one has ever seen God, but God, the Son, Jesus, has come into the world as human to reveal to us and to explain to us who he is. And this includes showing us what the image of God and its beauty looks like. And so far, this is what we know. We are made in the image of God, and the image is inherently beautiful. Jesus came to the world and showed us this image. So the next natural question would be, well, what does this image look like, and how beautiful is it? Let's look at it together through Jesus' life. To start, we can see that Jesus is a wise person. From teaching people how to live wisely, both on earth for the kingdom of heaven, like the ones on the Sermon on the Mount, to answering tricky questions from the Pharisees who always seemed to want to stump him, Jesus often spoke and acted with both authority and wisdom. Yet even though he was wise and authoritative, he wasn't arrogant and he wasn't distant like you would think of a smart person or a person of authority. Instead, Jesus is compassionate. He shows genuine care for others. In Matthew chapter 9, it says that as Jesus went to different villages and different cities, he saw large crowds in need of help. He wasn't ignorant of them and just left them to be. It says in the Bible that he felt compassion for these people because these people were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he became their shepherd. In another instant, we see that Jesus shows compassion to those who are hungry and thirsty. Where Jesus fed 5,000 people, Jesus fed 4,000 people. Jesus doesn't just say compassion. He actually acts on it. He shows his care and his compassion. We also see that Jesus is forgiving. For one, we know that he forgave Peter, a close friend who denied him and left him in the most difficult moments. And Jesus didn't only forgive him, like accepting an apology, okay, I forgive you, but he continued to entrust the important task of spreading God's love, God's work to others, to Peter. Jesus said, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, follow me. Jesus embraced Peter fully in love and restored the relationship. How many of us can forgive like Jesus did? And lastly, Jesus is faithful and trusting. Even when he was tasked with the most challenging task, to willingly die for a sin that he didn't commit for a group of sinners, he was still faithful and trusting. And no, it's not because he's God, because remember, he's fully human too. And we see in the Bible that he showed his human fear and anxiety and thoughts just moments before he was arrested as he was praying to God the Father. He chose to be faithful and trusting. He said, "Nevertheless, Father, not my will, but yours be done." How many of us can live with the same faith and the same trust like Jesus did? And I could go on and on with this list, because what I've just talked about, the 4 or 5 characteristics, is just the surface. But the question I want to ask today is, who do we really want to be? On one hand, culture offers that we can become that girl, someone who is physically appealing. Maybe they weigh 50 kilograms, wear a size 2, maybe they have a strong and attractive body, they have smooth and radiant skin, tangle-free hair, and perfectly done makeup. But behind all of this, maybe they're constantly anxious, exhausted, and worried. On the other hand, Jesus invites us to become like him, someone who's wise, compassionate, and caring, loving, forgiving, faithful, and trusting. Someone who fully embraces their identity as holy, beloved, and chosen. Brothers and sisters, have you ever met someone who just seemed to glow with a different light? You feel safe when you're with them. You want to be with them, always. And you want to be like them. Have you ever thought about why? Is it because they're physically beautiful? Or is there a beauty that radiates from within? This is the image that we could become. This is what true beauty looks like. We often chase after physical beauty because we think it buys us love and safety and attention. But Jesus shows a radiant beauty that attracts the right kind of attention from God and the heart of others, not just the eyes of others. Imagine how beautiful could we look like when we become this image and not the one culture offers. Now, I'm not saying that this is an easier path, because honestly, both take effort. The That Girl program asks us to wake up early, eat healthy, set goals, organize, exercise, drink more water, and more. Becoming more like Jesus means that we'll first have to accept him, be willing to follow him, and to put on his image every day. So what does it mean to put on his image every day? Is it like putting on a mask every night? Ephesians 4 tells us more. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Paul reminds us that putting off our old self means to strip away old ways of thinking and of being. We don't need to follow the cultural image. We can resist the voices that say that we're not beautiful enough or we're not enough. because we're no longer slaves to these old ways in Christ. Jesus, because of what he has done on the cross, has set us free. What we need to do is accept him. And when we do that, we are given a new identity, one that begins from an elevated place, one that tells us that we're holy, beloved, and chosen. This is the new self, our identity in Christ, the beautiful image of God that we're created to be. And so to put on the image of God is not about behaving in a certain way so that God will love us. It's about recognizing that I'm already loved, chosen, and holy, so I can live in a way that shows that I am God's child. It's about sinking in this new identity and representing God daily, because you can be secure and be free in this new identity. Imagine what tomorrow could look like if we put on the new self. We wake up in the morning, we continue to walk into the washroom, we turn on the lights, and we look into the mirror. Now, normally, we would start critiquing ourselves. But what if today we paused? We stopped. Before we reach for the concealer or another product, we take a breath and we say, I am a holy, beloved, chosen child of God. This doesn't mean that we skip the skincare, but skincare and products, it's no longer the answer. Instead of thinking about the next 10-step routine, you have the space and time to think about how you can put on this image today. How can we reflect God's kindness? Who can we remember and care for in our day? And we walk out of the washroom, not only with a clean face, but with a new sense of freedom and peace. That girl focuses on improving physical beauty. Putting on Jesus leads to an internal transformation and a captivating and fulfilling life. So who do we really and truly want to be? In the last few minutes, I want to share a story with you. As many of you know, I gave birth to our son last year. And many of you have seen the happy moments and have heard about the happy moments, but rarely do I share the struggles. And the truth is, I was so bothered by how I looked after giving birth. Now, honestly, my physical appearance has always been a struggle for me, ever since young. There was always something that I didn't like about myself. Too short, too fat, too muscular, short chin, pimples, you name it. I could always find something that bothered me and something that I wanted to change. You know what made it worse? Family gatherings. Somehow, every time I saw my relatives, they could find something to comment on. Oh, you got fatter recently. Time to eat less. Oh, you look so tired today. Look at those dark circles. Have you not been sleeping? Every time, I'll try to brush it off. Ha, sure, I'll work on it. But deep down, every comment just validated that I wasn't beautiful. I took it all very personally. And so eventually I wanted to change too. And I looked to the internet so I could do something about it. Some suggested intermittent fasting. Sure, let's do that. Others suggested you need to eat more healthy. Get in those fiber. Get in those nutrients. Okay, let's go to the grocery store. Oh, beets, Cucumbers, carrots, avocados, you name it, all those vegetables must be great for me. In the end, none of these methods worked, and I just felt more miserable afterwards. So you can imagine, with all of that in the background, when I gave birth, everything magnified. The extra weight, swollen face, sagging skin, scars, wrinkles, and extra deep dark circles for those sleepless nights. The insecurities multiplied, and thoughts just spiraled. At one point, I remember genuinely questioning whether my husband would leave me or not find me attractive, or not love me anymore because of all these physical battle scars that I now had. And during my mat leave, I had just a bit of extra time. So I had some time to look on social media and on online videos, and somehow they just happened to know that I just gave birth and just kept releasing these videos for me to look at. So many moms shared videos and posts about bouncing back after birth. I would say that this is an almost that girl equivalent for moms. I thought these videos would give me hope. Yay, we could do something about it. This isn't going to be the end. But the truth was, they just made me fall deeper in the pit that I was already in. What they were doing just wasn't realistic for me. How can I wake up at 5 a.m. to work out if I only had 2 hours of sleep? How can I eat clean as a mom who's trying to juggle a million things with a baby who has an unpredictable schedule? It was discouraging because I felt like I was never going to be beautiful enough ever again. This initial seed, working on feeling physically beautiful after giving birth, actually led me to discover that I was in a deeper pit. Wanting to improve how I looked was only a small hole that I was feeling. Deep under, there was something bigger. I wanted to bounce back and look as beautiful as I could, because I thought that's what a culturally accepted and loved and capable woman should look like. I wasn't just trying to slim down and lose weight. I wanted to be seen again. And I thought that doing all of that was what it took to feel loved and feel accepted again. These thoughts made me feel very bitter. It made me compare with others, sometimes even very irrationally. It made me feel jealous. And I steeped in these thoughts and emotions for a good 9 months. For the longest time that I was struggling, I actually didn't want to talk to God about it. What could God do? Not like he can magically just lift a few pounds off my stomach. And it's not like he can tighten my saggy skin. Why should I go to God? What can he do? That was what I thought until one day in July, I broke down and I ran to God. I remember sitting down at my desk with my Bible and with my journal opened, bawling, crying my eyes out, and just journaled all my feelings and all my thoughts. I spoke my heart out to God, and God spoke to me through his words. No, he didn't tell me to do 100 push-ups, to sleep earlier, or to drink more water. Instead, he reminded me through a Bible passage to abound in his love. Don't run away, child. You can be secure in me. Root yourself in my love, the love that I already gave you. Don't you remember? The love that sees you as my beloved. Stop striving to be what the world says is the perfect image. You are already chosen and holy as my daughter. You are whole and complete in me. Don't forget that. I turned to God, and he rescued me from that pit. He exchanged all my anxieties and my worries and my hopelessness and gave me a peace and filled the hole that I've struggled with for so many years. But no, I'm still not perfect. And no, I haven't given up on exercise and eating well. Yes, I still fall back on my old ways of thinking sometimes, the comparison, the cultural chase. But I'm thankful that God reminded me that I don't have to give in to those old ways, and I don't have to give up on myself. And since then, I've been able to speak back at those voices that have bothered me for a long time, much more. When a voice says, "I'll never be enough," I say, "No, I'm already loved and accepted." When another voice says, "Look at so-and-so and how thin they look. Look at you," I say, "I don't need to compare. I am created wonderfully, and I'm equally as precious and beautiful in God's eyes." So for those of you who feel a constant fear and anxiety because you feel the need to chase after the cultural expectations, I feel you. For those who feel hopeless or discouraged, I'm also with you. But we don't have to give in or give up. There is an alternative. We can choose who we become. We can choose to answer the cultural call and chase after our own beauty standards. Or we can choose to accept Jesus' invitation to abound in his love and to put on his beautiful image every day. For those of you who have been trapped in the endless pursuit, today I want to invite us to let go. Let go of pursuing whatever that girl may look like in our minds. Put off that old way of thinking and embrace that we are already her. And for those who have been too defeated, too disappointed to want to try again, please don't give up. Don't lose heart. There is a new hope. Jesus is available to you always. And the invitation here is to receive what he has already done and to follow and submit to him. We can be secure in this new identity and to put on his image. And the good news is, when we do that, we will naturally shine and glow, radiate out his beauty. That is the beautiful image that we are created to be. I invite us all to stand. let's take a few minutes to reflect together. If you're able, you can close your eyes and take the next few minutes to talk with God. Today, we talked about putting off our old self and putting on our new self. What is something that you want to put off? Ask God to help reveal those old ways of thinking. Ask God to help you to be honest to yourselves. Is it the way that you've been talking to yourself in the mirror? Is it an influencer that you've been following, but has been leading you to unhealthy thoughts, and you want to unfollow that person? Is it an unhealthy habit that's been feeding your insecurity? I invite you to pray to God. Pray to Jesus. Jesus, I want to put off the old me and embrace the new identity in you. Help me to let go. Let go of this unhealthy habit. Let go of these old thoughts. Help me, Jesus. Now that we've made a bit of space, turn to Jesus again. Think about the beauty in His image. What is one characteristic that you want to put on? We talked about His wisdom, His compassion, His caring heart, His forgiveness, His love, His faith, and His trust. Is there one thing that you want to put on? Ask Jesus to help you. Jesus, help me become more like You. Fill me with Your compassion. Fill me with Your love. Fill me with Your trust so that I can pour out and let others see Your beauty in me. I want to become more like You, Jesus.